Welcome
back to the Charles Owen Experience. Everyone.
Thanks, Char. Look, we're closer together than ever, boys. We've heard the recommendations. There will be no questions. Anything in a questionary nature will be ignored completely.
Yeah.
Until we get onto the questions.
Yeah, it's question time.
People love the questions. love the questions.
What's going on, man?
Nothing much. It's just really good. That was actually nice. That leads me on to my first question.
Guys, remember, like, subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, do all that. If you're listening on Spotify right now, you have no excuse then to go to the top right-hand corner and just give us 5 stars. Let's get to 600 five-star reviews. What will that mean for us? I don't know. But it'll be good to see 600.
They say that a lot on podcasts, don't they? They always say like and subscribe. I never really understood what it was.
I don't know what it means, but we want to gain more listeners.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Is this what? Yeah. It's
just
working.
A couple more podcasts, mate, and I'll be on that.
We made £200.
Did we?
Yes, from yesterday. They sent it the money. It was £187 from YouTube.
Wow. That's pretty good. Okay.
Yeah. Obviously, that will mainly go to me. And you'll receive.
I'll receive my 4%, and the studio will receive its money.
Yeah, exactly.
The studio. I guess it is your studio, isn't it, mate?
Yeah.
You could charge us.
Rent's coming in.
$240 each.
Yeah.
Don't ever touch me. $240 each.
Okay, sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Per episode. That's how much we charge ourselves. £240.
Anyway, yeah. Okay. What's going on? I see the 240. Right. That's
correct. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a bit about jiu-jitsu and weightlifting. You're a big fan of both. I quite like jiu-jitsu. Weightlifting, I could take it or leave it, but I understand it has its benefits. Recently, it's been going really well. You don't need to ask me any questions because I know all the answers already, mate. First of all, I've been working Baron Bolos, Crucifix. I've been combining the Bolos and the leg locks. I've been hitting some more outside ashi. I've been hitting the J point. I've been being sticky from seated. I've been hitting the double queechies.
What's a double queechie?
It's actually a koichi, mispronounced by Gordon himself.
What's a koichi?
It's a judo move where you go for a cross.
Toe point.
Minor ankle hook with your own foot. It's a cross foot sweep. A koichi gari.
Who's he hitting on?
Well, everyone. It's just doing that. The idiot sweep.
That one.
To the non-savant. Yeah.
What was the one called when he had that fight, that match? It's not a fight. It's a match.
Mate, because you don't punch each other like a real sport.
Yeah, we discussed this.
Fucking loser.
With
people think you're hard.
That UFC geezer. What was his name? Phil.
Bo Nickel.
Nope.
Phil Mitchell.
Nope. The guy who came in a singlet, like a basketballer. Who's the guy?
Philip Rowe.
Yes. He got the arm drag, he sat back, kicked his leg out, took his back.
That was more of a sasai.
Right.
Or I don't even know what you'd call that. Yeah, sasai with the wrong leg or a hockey stick foot sweep.
And the guy went, what?
Yeah, that was different. That's a nice one as well, though. That's beautiful. For the circling opponent. He builds height. He makes them split their legs to avoid the double leg, so they got angle to turn and whatever. Then he sits back down, and while the legs are wide, he kicks it out. It's fucking brilliant, mate. It's beautiful.
Nice, it's a nice defunded move, that.
Defunded.
We didn't get. I'm going to turn this music bloody down.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about the music. Yeah, bloody hell. It was a bit of a vibe, though, right, guys?
Fucking good.
We should have started dancing or something with each other.
That'd be good.
One of the questions asked if we were gay.
Really?
Yeah. Very astute. Mm. But no, I've actually given that up now. Given that up now.
Oh, you've stopped that.
Yeah, I've stopped that because it was too time consuming and I needed meniscus surgery. Right.
Fair play.
Should
we do a question?
Let's phrase it like this.
Yeah.
If you were to take a steroid, which would it be? That's a question.
A steroid.
Yes. I'll give an instruction. Think of your favorite steroid for jiu-jitsu.
I'd probably just be, if I had to take one.
8 hours sleep.
8 hours sleep, boss. It would just
growth
be,
hormone.
Just, yeah.
In ridiculous amounts. And I just wouldn't get blood tests and I'd get fucking cancer. Then I'd be the greatest of
you'd
all
be
time.
Good, you'd be in good shape, though.
I would be in good shape. Imagine the growths on me all over.
I'd probably just take Anavar until I get liver cancer, like in copious amounts.
Why?
Just
what is
really
Anavar?
Fucking strong. It just makes you really strong.
What about growth hormone? Doesn't that do that?
I don't know. Growth hormone's like...
I feel like that's the elite. You're just turning into a freak at that stage, aren't you?
Yeah. He healed really quickly too.
Yeah. Mark Scouser from Liverpool was telling me...
That geezer.
Yeah, that he was on growth hormone till he got a fistula, a second arsehole as he describes it.
What the fuck?
A fistula.
What does that happen?
You just have to Google fistula. It's a second arsehole. It's kind of like a staff that goes through your arse into your arsehole. Or it's like on the arsehole and it goes so out. He had a double arsehole, shitting, whatever, imagine. And yeah, then he stopped taking growth hormone and it went away. But he said that he'd take a 15-minute nap and he felt like he just slept the whole night.
Yeah.
He said it was 5 times quicker recovery.
You can recover really fucking quickly.
Imagine that.
I know someone who recovered very quickly.
I know someone who recovered very quickly one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not on growth, but he did. Trust me. Right. It's just that, obviously you would die of non-benign cancer.
You could. Yeah. That's cells. It's a risk factor, having like a heart attack or blood pressure through the roof.
Everything, mate. The whole kitchen sink will be thrown at you.
Yeah.
Right.
Go on.
Fuck.
What's the question?
Let's say that you're passing and your opponent constantly rolls or inverts into leg attacks.
North-south, boss.
Yeah, go to north-south and then go back to the J-point and switch between north-south and the J-point without ever awarding them an angle they can use successfully or giving them entries into your legs. So keep your legs away, feinting left and right to keep your legs far away, then back to the J-point or try to pressure them from north-south if you're particularly good at that. But I would say J-point offers you your opponent less chance of getting your legs than a north-south position would do.
Yeah.
What do you think, Chia?
I think it's got to be...
Fuck, that's a question.
It's got to be that... Stop with the questions. It's got to be the north-south or the J-point, right? They keep it there. You just got to get good at just pummeling into the north-south.
Pummeling, yeah. Yeah, I think...
Controlling the shins, controlling the elbows, getting the elbows in, getting tucked in underneath.
Yeah.
Head position.
Yeah. The interplay between north-south and the J-point is quite interesting.
Burrowing yourself. Joseph Chen seems to do that very well.
Yeah.
With his head.
Yes, he does burrow his head in very well.
Isaac Michelle seems to do that well.
And high stepping. Isaac does it slightly different though, I feel like. Isaac is very happy to go straight to north south, whereas Joseph would like to stay on the side and
that's
enter
the angle. More tiring from the angle, I feel.
Yeah. I would say it depends, because I guess if you're north south, you can probably still push the knees away in the same way. But I just think it's easier for them to get access to your legs in a meaningful way if you're in north-south than if you are in...
Because they can invert easier.
Because their hips are pointed at the front of your kneecap already.
Right.
So it's harder to, just turn your knee and wriggle out. You can't just high step or whatever. They're already attached. Knee bars are there. Whatever you need, we've got it. Raspberries.
Raspberries. Get your raspberries. Two for £2.
Yeah. Raspberries. Fucking love them. Here's a good one.
All right.
So, jelking, does it work? This is by PJ, the little fella.
PJ Morecambe, the little geezer.
Little fella, yeah. Morecambe.
Morecambe.
I guess there you have it, fellas, Morecambe.
What's jelking?
Jelking. It's like half wanking to make your dick bigger.
Do you do that?
No, but,
It is a technique.
Yeah, man.
It is a technique.
Definitely familiar with it. They've got whole centers. It's like easy job if you want to make some money as well. You can just jelk off like rich people from
like a sperm donor.
Bahrain or what have you.
Bahrain. What's the next question?
All right, you didn't like that one. All right.
Cool.
No, it's okay. A lot of people don't like the questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you cycle off creatine or take it all the time?
Take it all the time.
Mate.
You don't need to cycle on and off. You can stay on creatine continuously. It's got very good benefits all around holistically to your health.
I've heard 1% strength gains on muscle endurance, like over many sets, but I find it's more than 1%, mate.
Yeah.
For me, I find it's night and day when I take it, when I don't. When I take it, I just feel like a bit withered, And when I don't take it. And when I do take it, I just feel a bit, I've got that little extra charge, that you need.
It's a great supplement. Everyone should be taking it. Anywhere between 5 to 10 grams a day is fine. People go, you got to take this much per kg. No, you don't. Just 5 to 10 grams a day. Load it up. Big fuck off scoop. Get it in there. every day. What time of day is best? Around the time that you're doing sport or lifting.
Here's a tip.
Yeah.
If your creatine is clumping, I have a pre-clumping tip and a post-clumping tip.
Go on.
So pre-clumping, get the silica packets, put it inside, then it won't clump.
Right.
And if it's already clumped, yeah, then you need to get yourself some sparkling water. You put it in the sparkling water and the fizz gets rid of it.
Wow.
Yeah, man. It's insane.
I just shake the tub up.
Yeah, but then you've always got little minuscule bits. And when you try to... Do you see how small that is? And when I can still
see
you there.
That's fucking small.
I can see you there, Charles. And so it's not that small, right? It's not so small that you can just drink it. It will still get stuck on the back of your tongue or in the bottom of the bottle. Then it comes the end bit and you're just eating this like, you know, it's like
chalky.
It's just weird, mate. It's just fucking disgusting. Yeah,
it's a great supplement. It's good for your brain too.
Brain.
Everyone should take it. There should be, unless you get stomach pain from it. Which is quite a big percentage of people.
I find it's the flavored ones that give you stomach pains.
A lot of people still get the non-flavored from
and have stomach pains.
Yeah, it's not for you then, unfortunately.
Arsehole.
Try the tablets. Try the gums.
Eat an egg.
Yep. Eat 15 eggs.
Eat wake 15 boiled eggs.
Just wake the fuck up.
Yeah. Just wake up in the morning. Eat 15 boiled eggs.
Yep. Next question.
Wake the fuck up.
Okay.
Right.
What you got?
Ask Owen. This one's for you, Char.
All right.
More details on sprawl passing. How to not sprawl into an underhook. Use a C grip so that if they C grip the armpit, they go for an underhook and you just move yourself back down to a half guard. I hope I'm illustrating that correctly, but you use this C grip and you press away from your body and your body will go down their body whilst their body goes up your body, then the utility of the underhook is lost.
I like that detail.
Utility.
Yeah.
Like the pressing.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. I actually like this as a submission sometimes.
Bit of pressing.
Not enough that it hurts their throat and not enough for long enough that it subs them, but just consistent.
Pressing. Take that, cunt. Take that, take that, take
just
that.
Take over
that,
and over again till they just give up and cry or they actually get really fucking angry.
Oh, I've had enough. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Mr. Rotolo versus Isaac Michaud. I hope I'm saying that right.
Izaki. Oh, you're talking about that match. All right.
Yeah. That wasn't really a question, but it's the question they wanted to ask.
All right.
So, that was cool, huh? You see the way Rotolo spun around and took the mount position. That was excellent. And good then the rotation. Arm in finish. Very good. So, and basically the question was about the arm in RNC finish. Is it going to be useful to everyone in the future, et cetera, et cetera? Is it a new meta? That's what he said, meta. What, mate? So
Facebook.
I would say that I quite like it. Especially, yeah, if you can get their elbow on the floor side, then it becomes a problem for them, you know? I'll give you an example. You're in a head and arm strangler from mount, right? You have the head and arm, right? And then the guy turns away but doesn't fully get his shoulder in the lock before you wrap a figure four. That's not a figure four grip. Before you wrap...
It's an RNC.
A rear naked choke grip. Right, but they have the arm in and they're starting to get that shoulder through. They're opening the elbow and the shoulder's coming through. And you're like, fuck, my fingers are slipping. You're on your right-hand side, on their head side. You roll them to the arm side and their elbow will hit the floor and then you can sink your hands deeper and then you'll be able to finish the choke, which was once not going to happen. And I think that is what the question is about. Is that going to be the meta? And I would say it might not be a meta, right? You know, the RNC is always going to be the gold standard of submissions. And as with everything, there will come a time where there'll be new defenses and it'll be like, ah, this is shit. And then someone will do something different. It'll be like, ah, it's good again. And then someone will do something else. And then it'll just be like an even position that leads into another submission. That tends to be how it goes, isn't it?
Trending.
Think about the legs, right? So it started. Everyone's getting leg locked all the time. Then there's a period of like, yeah, leg locks aren't working. We're getting back takes. We're getting just running around people's legs. We're just defending them really well. We're jumping on counter leg locks. And now it's got back to the stage where if you enter into the saddle on someone, a lot of the time with the new leg extension details, a lot of the time you're going to finish them or you're going to get a really close entry on the legs or you'll be able to pass the leg off. Basically, it's streamlined now to the point that you can be very dangerous if you get on the legs once again with the new details that the world has.
Ooh. The collective consciousness of the world. Man, it's so nice to see. Everyone's come together.
They've made new techniques, and yeah, they're sharing it around, and yeah, it's really good. Anyway, that people thought the leg locks were done, but it's not done, right?
It'll never be done.
It's never done. It's never over.
Can we swap seats quickly? My fucking what neck is fuck? Killing me looking that way. And it's sore, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Continue. Like, sorry,
my seat was a bit sweaty
warm.
Though.
This is warm now.
It's warmer, yeah.
Right, better for my neck.
Yeah,
neck's a bit sore.
Stool loosening, I hear as well. It's not the only thing that's stool loosening.
Right.
So yeah, that whole speech anyway, I'm sure it will be the, not meta, but it will definitely be featured a lot more in the coming days, etc.
But
I would say, let's not forget, right? If you get to the back on someone in most rule sets, you've already won the match. So the meta will never be, unless it's something like leg locks, which is positions and submissions in and of each other almost, right? It's very fine line between like getting a position and a submission. I would say same as the back, but you don't score for leg locking positions, but you do score for the back. So if you were to get on the back of someone, right, that could kind of be the match over if you just waited there the whole time. You have no really, the onus is on them to escape basically. You could just hold it and people would boo you, but you would win the match.
You
regardless.
Win the match, yeah.
Yeah, so I would say the meta would be more overarching trends that would affect the positions rather than specifically the submissions. That's why leg locks was such a big deal.
Yeah, and submissions will change, won't they? With time, as they adapt and they advance and they improve over time.
Maybe if there was a way to get the head and arm, that like head and arm thing from non-dominant positions or positions that were previously seen as equal-ish, then that would change the meta because it would be like, oh, now that this submission's actually legit, I can't really do this or that or whatever anymore. I have to be very careful. But I don't feel like that is the case. I obviously feel like if you're in a head and arm, you're already pretty fucked anyway. And people turning away and giving their back, you know, if they don't get that shoulder in, you just wrap it anyway without having to switch sides. Watch Krellenstein versus, who's the fella who does the Olympic lifts? Canadian fella.
Dante,
yeah.
He powerlifted.
Yeah, that's the one. Dante did the head and arm thing to Krellenstein. And then, yeah, I don't know. You could also say that the Rotolas have such long arms that they might be able to lock shit without.
They have a very unique style and that, yeah, their reach gives them different opportunities.
And they're very, obviously, extremely good at just that grip. Wrist over elbow with the arm in. They're very good at Darcy's.
Also, that sweep is very unique to them as well because they're so fucking long and their ability to just...
The hip bump. Yeah. That one was just genius, though.
Yeah. I'd say it's a very good hip bump, but like they've got a very big wingspan. So you need to elaborate more on that.
Yeah. Well, the sweep itself, he just caught him beautifully. Slipping. He just it was just great timing. What can you say about that? They have like... They do moves in between the moves, if that makes sense. Mm. They don't think when they roll and pause to consider their health or safety or the other person's. They just go, and that's why they can take people into deep waters that would otherwise out-muscle or whatever them. So you really need to pin them down for the entire time.
They're fucking good, man. Yeah. I saw a video of Cade. I can't remember who's...
So when you watch them two spar, it's just fucking nuts.
It's fucking nuts. It just looks like chaos, mate, upside down. He just jump scissored someone, and their knee just exploded.
Oh, Cade, yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Oh, my God.
But it looked like the guy's knee was kind of going to be okay.
Yeah, well, he's like kind of in that position, and he jumped, and it just went bosh, big loud click. That was game over.
Yeah, I didn't think his leg was going to break there, because the scissors seemed kind of okay. But I think the trouble is
he was trying to get away.
When they kind of over jump into the position rather than jumping towards you and then scissoring the legs backwards, I think the problem comes where they just have their legs in place and they drive into you with their groin into the side of your knee rather than just getting their leg behind your leg and scissoring you backwards.
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of two moves. One of them is literally just jumping half belly down on the side of the knee, and one of them is having your hip just on the outside of their knee without body weight and then twisting them over to the side.
Right.
So jumping and then scissoring, yeah, you can see it's two motions, right? It's not one. The jumping gets you in distance and the scissoring should take them down. But often what happens is people over jump and then they squash the fella's knee before they've even done the scissoring motion.
Would you consider jumping scissors someone, scissoring someone at ADCC?
Mate, I've done it in fucking Cardiff whatever open for no money. So man's just like 32-year-old policeman. He needs his legs. And I was just like, well, I'm on a single leg. It's time to jump scissors. He was fine, but he was barely fine. The thing is, you can do it safely, but it won't be that effective. The more safe you do it, the less chance you have of actually closing the distance.
You can't go for it.
I think, honestly, what I should definitely practice is just do some drills where someone's going to try and retard jump scissors me and I have to sprawl really hard on them to defend it. Because I feel like if you don't sprawl or at least hinge your leg back, you will get your leg broken. And that is partly why I don't like wrestling in competitions, especially if like I think that the person's like a psycho or just willing to jump scissors in for any reason. It's just not worth, like, there's no amount of money that is going to, like, a knee surgery is like 15K. So.
And then you've got a bad knee.
And then you've got a bad knee for the rest of your life. So I would say there is no amount of money, like, okay, like 150K, I'll take someone just jumping on my knee, jumping scissors. I'll do that. But even then, I don't think I would
then,
do
even
that,
then, yeah. You'd be like, no, I don't want to do this.
I still, yeah, I already regret taking 150K for that. So probably.
You already regret saying that.
Probably a lot of money to take a jumping scissors to the knee, right. Which is why I think posting a hand on the floor might be a good rule to implicate or whatever. But then you could say it's like pro competitions. You kind of have to have it at the same time.
You need it in. Just let it be.
You just need to drill like anything else. You see someone jump on you, you do a sprawl or you do a posture up or whatever. Yeah. You got to choose the correct one and not get your shit broken.
Just be aware of it.
Yeah. Get Lachlan to do a video on how to not get your knee broken in jumping scissors.
Lachlan Giles.
Yeah, Lachlan.
Someone send this to Lachlan Giles, please.
Someone send it to Lachlan and tell him, please, sir, can we have a debrief on the knee again?
We're going to go train there next year, February. Yeah. You want to come?
No, mate. It's too far away.
Mate, you're a Steam Deck now.
It doesn't have that much battery.
Right.
Unless I have a plug with me on the aircraft, I'm not going.
On the aircraft. You could bring a plug on the aircraft.
What would you call it? Yeah, but it won't work with a battery pack. It needs a plug and socket. It won't work with a USB. It needs a plug. And I can't risk that, mate. I just can't fucking risk it.
You can play it halfway. You could get enough entertainment out of it for halfway through the trip. Then when you were stopover in either Singapore or Dubai, you could charge it then.
Yeah. All right.
You're not convinced.
Yeah. I mean, I could get two Steam Decks.
I just don't know what Australia... You could easily afford that. Easily.
Hold on, if I count all my money up and I sell a couple clothes, I'll probably...
Afford a Steam Deck.
Yeah.
What does Australia offer you? You don't like the beach. You don't really like the sun.
Private lessons. I would like, you know, I like touristing to some extent. I like seeing different cultures, how people live. You know, one day I want to... obviously move country and to somewhere that's not so shitty and well come on mate, it's gone to the dogs. Look around you, it's fucking miserable, cold all the time. It didn't used to be like this.
It's always been like this. Yeah.
No, it didn't used to be like this, mate. It used to be hot all the time, mate. Yeah, back in the day.
Well, I see you living in France, mate. You'd be in
South of France, that'd be lovely. But I hate French people. Nah, they're all right.
Mate,
but
South of France, they're different. They're different than South of France.
Yeah, to be fair, I do like the South of France,
mate,
part of my
fuck are you doing there?
Fidgeting, mate. Can I fiddle with it? Right. My cousins and that in the south of France, they're cool, man.
Shut alcoholics, cool. Yeah.
They are literally, yes. It's very that. It's very like, you know, you've had like three bottles of wine and it's like 4 p.m.
Yeah.
But it's just been with food, with breakfast, with cereals.
Oh, no, that's fine then, obviously.
A bottle of wine.
No, it's fine.
Nice wine, though, I bet.
You've been to south of France?
Yeah.
Cannes. Saint-Tropez.
I don't know. It's Bordeaux. Near the Azure coast.
Bordeaux?
Don't think I've been to Bordeaux. I've been...
Biarritz?
I'm going to Marseille.
Right.
Big swinger community there. Right, guys. Check out. I'm going to do a camp there with men like Luke Doberman. I'm just getting up the Google map of the world. it does the whole world. You should check it out, guys.
Marseille.
So yeah, Aix-en-Provence.
Oh, it's on the other side, God.
Yeah, there we go. Toulon, all these places, mate.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. What's in there? Hold on, give me that.
Montpellier is it Montpellier? I can't even remember. I think it's Montpellier that we're going for this. Anyway, just check out
the Barcelona
poster.
Side. Yeah, that'd be beautiful. Look at that.
That'd be lovely.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Anyway, the south of France is very lovely. Very lovely, indeed. And got some family out there. Maybe go visit them one day. Show them how shit I am at French now.
Yeah.
Wow, you're so shit at French now. That's amazing. But you should hear my English. What are you even doing, mate?
I'm just trying to get my bearings straight. This is really good.
You can see what's on the phone. okay, another question. You were just Googling where cans was. That was nice. That's cute. Okay. Bruised or sprained my LCL. Feels good after 1 week. Should I take more time? Honestly.
What? Go see a physio. No, what you should do is get into the gym. It depends how much range of motion that you have. I'd say you could definitely go back and do some like light training, but I wouldn't be fucking going for it, mate, just yet, because even though it's like, oh, it kind of feels okay. What have you done to test that? Have you done jumping? Have you done plyos? Have you done?
It needs an MOT.
You need some kind of like, okay, what's the right stage to return the sport? Do you have full flexion back? Can you lift weights with it? Are you back in the weight room, returning to your regular training schedule? Jumping, can you, you know, jump across the room? Can you laterally jump?
It's a bit of a hard one to load when you're training as well, when you're testing it. Often people will like move their hip and stuff without actually moving solely their knee.
Yeah.
You know, so make sure you do a full MOT, but I think the LCL is a wide ligament, is it not? It's like very thick. So if you have a small tear of it, it's not the end of the world and you will have much LCL left. It's when you have a full LCL tear or a large LCL tear, then it's a real fucking nightmare, mate. And you better be good.
Yep.
Okay. How to avoid mental burnout. Mate, just go in, have fun, try some new techniques. That is my advice.
You've got to do stuff you enjoy, really. You've got to look at it like...
Take it less seriously for one day. Just let some people get moves on you. Try some shit that you haven't tried and you'll find the joy in jiu-jitsu again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I just go there to hang out with the fellas, really. And try and get better at jiu-jitsu. When this new gym opens up, I feel like I'll be...
The hanging out with the fellas can get monotonous and the training hard can get monotonous.
Yeah.
So doing both of them and then occasionally just try some a whole new world, you know? Try to train as if you didn't have any habits. Cool.
Go on. Next question.
How often can you change up the variation on an exercise? That could be an of or an on.
Yeah. Every 6 to 12 weeks, really. I mean, obviously, that's a big range there. Basically, when you feel like the exercise is getting stale, let's say dumbbell bench press, for example, you're doing that once or twice a week, and you're like, damn, I feel like this isn't really progressing anymore. Then you could go, finish that off.
Shout out Sam Pellegrino. They do, guys, if you haven't heard, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Haven't heard of San Pellegrino, that's with a double L, just Google it. They do really tasty, sparkling water.
Yeah, it's French, isn't it? It's French, is it?
Yeah, it must be French. It must be French. San Pellegrino.
Let's say you're doing dumbbell bench press and you're like, I'm just not really progressing on this anymore. Then you go, all right, cool. I'm going to change that to a feet up dumbbell bench press just to take the feet away. Try that for, you know, four to six weeks. If it's gone progressing smoothly, then be like, all right, I'm going to add a 2 second pause into this movement at the bottom. Okay. Try that for 4 to 6 weeks and then just continue up those variations. And then eventually, let's say after that, you know, 8 to 12 week process, return back to the flat dumbbell bench and you probably would see some improvement from there. Try and make the exercise harder with taking some things away, the pushing power with the feet, adding some tempo, adding some pauses, the angle of the exercise, and you can still keep that plane of motion, that horizontal pushing.
Mate, just the feet do give you lots of pushing power.
Yeah.
It's weird that, isn't it?
It is.
Why is that happening?
Because you can wedge yourself in and you can get, if your shoulders are tucked under properly, then you can really get that nice bosh to get the lats working and everything pushing. Well, the lats don't really work, but it gives you a better wedge, better framework to push from, creating a stronger infrastructure.
So could you do the same weight without pushing as you could with?
It's gonna be harder to do it feet up.
I think it's the depth.
What?
If you push from your legs, the depth is less on the...
Well, it depends how hard you want to... It depends at what stage you're going to start pushing. So let's say you achieve full depth and you're like, okay, I'm going to start pushing up. Bang. As it's already coming up. Because you're not going to be...
That's fine?
Okay, that's fine. When you would push. That's technically when you would use using the feet.
That's what I do. Yeah, but then I feel like you start
with the weight here, you push and the weight moves up, and then as you go...
You should still be maintaining the arch in the back.
Maintain that push, guys.
Maintain the push.
Maintain the push.
Yeah, you could do the same.
Shitting tutorial.
You could do the same variation with deadlifts as an example. You could go, all right, I'm going to do deadlifts for 6 weeks. Then I'm going to do a pause deadlift for 6 weeks. Then I'm going to do a deficit deadlift for 6 weeks. And then I'm going to return back to a normal deadlift for 6 weeks. And you can repeat that cycle.
You know what I've noticed as well is where you hold the bar. Let's say we're doing a pulling exercise. If I hold it here, I get much more tired than if I hold it here.
Yeah.
For those listening, I just referenced between the first and second knuckles on my fingers, palm side, and then from my knuckles to the rest of my hand.
Yeah.
Right? That is much harder. But when you get calloused hands, you don't feel like gripping with the palm. You feel like, fuck it, I'll just go to the knuckles.
Yeah, it's not good.
But mate, it adds so much range as well.
Yeah.
It makes it very difficult.
It adds more range, and you're not powerful in that because you can't close the hand around it. So you want to have that knuckle line for pushing, and then when you're pushing, and then when you're pushing, it just goes through. What's that adjacent? Is that called?
Is that a J point?
Is that adjacent? The word across.
It's adjacent. No. Adjacent means next to.
Right. Okay. That doesn't make sense. So just across the thumb line would be for pushing, and that's going to be optimal pushing line.
Across is the word.
Across. Right, we've got 5 to 10 minutes.
We're going, mate. It's all right. It's all right.
What else we got?
Fucking hell. All right. I'll ask the questions that I want to ask. Here's one. So last podcast for those that were here attending.
I actually need to upload that. I'm going to do that tonight, and then I'll upload this one again.
Right. Whatever. Then I guess.
No. Go on.
Right. Okay. So someone's asking about Russian/Dagestani training methods. We already spoke about that, but they wrote diets as well. So from what I saw when we were in Aiga, the Dagestani fellas ate very healthily. You know, they had vegetables on their plate. Insane. Like lots of leafy greens.
Cruciferous vegetables.
They had meat, carb. They generally skipped the dessert.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah, it was really good, healthy, wholesome food. Like they really ate for performance, mate. And yeah, it was really inspiring to see.
Who knew that just eating healthy meals was success? This is a very...
But they didn't seem to eat massive portions.
Yeah, because they probably just eat more frequently throughout the day. Maybe it's like snacking, little secret ears.
That sounds like a nice snack.
Ooh. Yeah.
Saw a squirrel the other day.
People get a bit confused. They're like, oh, what should I do that? You know, just eat good meat, good veg, at least 3 to 4 times a day. And then you could fit in a few little sneaky snacks in around that. You know, little Lucas said before you train.
Did you say meat 3 to 4 times a day or eat?
Eat. Three to four big, beautiful meals.
Portions.
Per day. Yep. Well, that's where you're going to get a good amount of vegetables in, a good amount of fiber in, a good amount of carbs and protein in. And then the foods around that are really just to fuel your training. If you do a lot of training and make sure you're drinking plenty of water, it's very simple.
Man, it's fucking easy. And you keep writing in about it. Okay.
Yep.
Would you add calf raises as part of strength for jiu-jitsu, and which type/dosage?
I wouldn't, because we're doing pliers. If you're doing...
Mate, that's what I was going to say. Please, I'm fucking listening.
If you're doing a really good amount of pliers, which you should be, that's going to be plenty of work that you're going to get done through the ankles, the soleus, and the calves. And there's going to be, and the tibialis, mate. People that old tib raises... They're fucking shit, tib raises. They're absolutely useless exercise, and it'll do nothing for your knee pain. Whereas if you can get yourself to a point where you can do pliers and you can actually get good pronation and supination of your foot, you'll be a fucking monster. Because that good foot, having good, healthy feet is going to be... Well, actually, no. If you look at some basketballers' feet, like LeBron James, he's got awful feet, mate. And he can jump. He can jump, mate, that geezer.
It's just about the tendon, isn't it, in your...
It's a tendon, yeah. Shout out Jake Tura. Check out, everyone go follow Jake Tura on Instagram. He puts out some great stuff about tendons.
Yeah.
And then Matt McInnes Watson for plier. For all information on pliers, he's excellent. So what you want to do if you're starting pliers, you would start with a lot of light tier work. That way you can get a lot of volume in at lighter intensities, so you can have a good understanding of, you know, how do I attack the floor? How do I actually you know, progress with these plyometrics, so you get a good feeling for it. And it's also going to be great for your proprioception and tendons. Yeah. And then as you progress through the light tier into the medium tier and the ping tier, all of that good work that you've done in the light tier is going to translate to the medium and the ping tier.
What the fuck is that?
Line bike.
Oh, it's a line bike.
Line bike. I feel like my calves have been not getting bigger, but just feeling more tense.
Like stronger?
Yeah, stronger.
Sore.
Definitely, yeah, sorer. Slightly stiff, but not in a bad way, per se. It doesn't feel like it's going to break.
I feel like you need a rest.
Maybe if I did the ping tier off the bat, something might tear. But I feel like once I'm warm, it's much better.
Yeah.
It's one of those, though. You're definitely feeling it. Your soleus muscle.
Yeah, my soleus has definitely got bigger. That's strong, for sure. Yeah, so, mate, I would just say get your pliers in, mate. Don't skip the fucking pliers.
You need to go do a massage for the stiffness.
You need to a nice recovery day, mate. Yeah. Anyone who's like, yeah, oh, you don't need to do pliers, it's jiu-jitsu, you spend most of the time on the floor, that's fucking bullshit, mate. Pliers is for longevity and health as well, not just about performance. If you want to look after, especially fellas as they get older, mate, they'll be like, oh, I just want to play a bit of football or just run here, and you haven't done any fucking sprinting for years, mate, your tendons, Achilles tendon is just going to fucking explode. Whereas if you've got a good amount of exposure to play, mate, you see it all the time.
Just imagine some fella like 48, yeah, he's gonna go play football with the boys again.
Mate, it happens.
Goes all, for a full sprint and he fucking.
It happens all the time.
His Achilles tendon.
Go look at Tom Segura, who's a comedian, 40 years old, goes to play basketball. Just go, like the most simple thing. goes to just run. He just runs towards a hoop, tries to go for a step off. It sounds like a gun goes off. It's quite comical. He falls forward, falls on his own arm, snaps his Achilles tendon, and breaks his arm because he falls on his arm.
So, fucking mate, hell.
But Plyo,
he's a funny guy.
He's very funny, Tom Segura, not Vince McMahon. Double quad tag.
Double quad tag. Because he thought he could just jump on stage.
So, yeah, pliers is about longevity and performance. It's just very, very good for your overall health and of your tendons, your feet. I can't recommend enough. You just need to do them, mate. At least twice a week. Especially the deep tier stuff as well. If you want to improve your mobility, it will fucking improve your mobility. I guarantee you. In those deep and range positions. Like squatting, split squatting.
Squatting.
Right, we're running out of time soon, aren't we? What you got?
All right, two quick questions. Favorite option from outside Ashi when op is on a hip, spin through to top side. And then for Owen, shoelace Ashi, best feet position for saddle and passing to inside Ashi? ?
Yep.
Yes.
Is that?
For saddle, no, but for passing to inside Ashi, yes.
Right,
that's it. We got to keep those specific jiu-jitsu questions short because most people don't give a fuck.
Wow, people do love it. We've been doing them for a long time. The thing of the olden days podcasts, we should get back in Leon's office and do a couple of podcasts in there for old time's sake.
People love that.
That was funny.
I still get occasional likes of people scrolling way far back. Fucking weirdos scrolling way far back and liking a podcast clip from like 3 years ago. Mate, yeah. Mate, have some shame.
Have some shame.
Don't fucking go that far back. That's just weird.
Yeah, I like that.
Wouldn't be seeing your baby photos, would ya?
Yeah.
Not alone.
Right, guys, that'll have to do us. Like, subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, all that. You've got Patreon. You've got Patreon. I didn't actually do it, Jock, boss.
Yeah, you did it a bit more than me, though.
Oh, okay. Go check out Owen's Patreon.
Patronize. Like what, when you go to a restaurant.
And they patronize you, yeah. You do stuff on there. You've also got instructionals. You should do that. I sell strength programs.
Lachlan Giles, tell us about jumping scissors.
Yes. Submeta, shout out. Love that.
Love that, mate.
I don't watch it, though.
No, I should.
It's hard to watch.
It's hard enough with fanatics and all that to watch as well. Yeah. There's only so much time in a day, Charles.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys, like, subscribe, check out stuff. If you want to support the podcast, look out below. If you want to sponsor the podcast, send me a message and it'll be very expensive for you, but it'll be well worth it, obviously.
Yeah, think about the thousands of billions of views we get.
Guys,
how much money you'll make.
Thank you so much.